Welcome to the audio podcast of The Table at Central United Methodist Church. The podcast currently features the messages of Matt Smith and Linda Du Hirsu,
with a musical introduction by Brendan Lowe, our director of music. Thanks for listening.
I didn't tell you I was going to do this either.
All right.
We are going to share two stories about a man named Robert McAfee Brown. And he's a teacher and a theologian. He died some years ago. And as we live into these stories, sometimes things happen, you know, inside job. And I realized another inside job that was happening. This man, Robert McAfee Brown, is really, as a human being, grounded in tradition. But tradition never contained him. And his wife says about him that he was committed to relate his faith to the world all around him and to push on boundaries, but also to be very effective. He acted for this through all of his work, especially his teaching, his preaching, and he wrote many, many books. And working with other people and strategizing, he turned his ideas into action. He, by his own nature, you'll see a picture of him later, don't do it now. He doesn't even look like an activist because he really wasn't an activist. But he became an activist because his faith called him to act. They established a scholarship in his name at Union Seminary. And the very first Robert McAfee Brown scholar is this man right here. Talk about an inside job. This activist, not activist, faithful theologian dies. People give money for him so that someone can go to seminary and learn these things and be an inside job. Yeah, that's you, Matt. So I'm going to tell you a little more about Robert McAfee Brown. He and his wife, Sydney, had traveled in their role as church leaders from the United States to visit headquarters of Southwest Africa People's Organization. That was the black activist student movement at the time in Durban, South Africa. So Bob and Sydney were there, and they were talking with Steve Biko. Steve Biko is a prophetic rallying figure for black consciousness in South Africa until the police will murder him, after which he would become a rallying point over which the white police force lost all control. Steve Biko was not impressed with these church leaders from the United States. Why should he waste his time with two white liberals who will leave and try to state his case for him to other white liberals? After all, he continued in an almost surly fashion, that's why the black consciousness movement has begun in Africa, because white South Africans are presuming to speak for blacks. Steve Biko looked across at these two well-intentioned white church leaders from the United States and stated to them bluntly, who needs more of that? Bob was nonplussed. How would he respond to this angry young black man? But his wife, Sydney, is not nonplussed. He has struck a responsive chord within her. I think I know what you mean, she replies to Biko. At home, when men speak on my behalf as a woman or explain to the world just what it is that women really want, I feel frustrated and even angry. Steve Biko's angry face relaxes. He actually cannot suppress a smile. The wall of separation between them had been overcome. A rapport has been established across cultural, racial, class, and gender lines. The real conversation begins, and an inside job continues.
One of the classic dilemmas in all movements for social change relates to tactics. Some choose to move outside of institutions and to work for change externally. Think of someone like Malcolm X or Angela Davis. Others, though, choose to remain within an institution and to work internally for change. Think Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King or Harvey Milk. A typical definition, though, of an inside job is really about a criminal act that's perpetrated by someone with secret willingness who occupies a position of trust, and there is always a victim. So you could think about a bank robbery. There in a bank, you might have an inside job that's committed by a security guard or, say, a bank teller. But this morning, we want to turn that notion upside down. To turn it around and wonder together about the possibility of an inside job being a relevant and even faithful strategy for social change, for hope, for resistance to oppression, for following in the ways of God. This week on This Christian Life, we'll hear stories old and new of inside jobs creating lasting social and political and cultural and religious change. In Act 1, we'll return to Bob and Sidney Brown. This time, though, as they visit based Christian communities in Peru. And then in Act 2, we'll turn to Scripture to hear the story of Esther, the most unlikely of queens who saved God's people from genocide. And then finally in Act 3, we'll turn to the inside job of our own United Methodist system and listen to some of the story of Bishop Melvin Talbert, who is calling you and me and all of us to biblical obedience in the face of discrimination and violence against gay and lesbian people. In each of these stories, we'll encounter people who work from the inside to create change. See, we follow a God who came into the world in the form of Jesus to show us the way to love one another. So you might just say that Jesus is God's ultimate inside job. So let's return to Bob and Sidney Brown, this time as they travel to Peru to build solidarity with poor Roman Catholic sisters and brothers in the midst of radical social and political upheaval in Latin America.
Act 1, Dynamite Down South. Sidney and Bob were in Lima, Peru in 1977. They were participating in a summer course for lay people about theology in the church in the time of 1977. The stuff they were reading and reflecting upon was tame, safe stuff up north. Down south, it was dynamite. Christian theology, Sidney and Bob were hearing, is a matter of reflecting from a Christian perspective on what one is doing in the world to transform social structures for the benefit of the poor. Since it is the poor who were in attendance at this gathering doing this study, those poor were getting their marching orders. But they knew that to agitate for change could cost them their very lives. The talk dies down and subsides. The plea for social transformation is over. And now there would be Eucharist, Holy Communion. Tame, safe stuff up north. Dynamite down south. The Mass begins. Sidney and Bob took part freely welcome at the Lord's table of their Catholic friends. This itself was an inside job in a larger institutional church that sought to exclude anyone who was not Catholic. The Mass was over. They sang a hymn to conclude. Not just any hymn. This particular one is called the Magnificat, and it's attributed to Mary, a lovely spiritual person. And as we all know, she's the humble handmaiden of the Lord. That's tame, safe stuff up north. Dynamite down south. For the humble handmaiden of the Lord turns out to be the greatest revolutionary of them all. The real marching orders come straight from Mary. And the police cannot stop a bunch of Roman Catholics from singing a hymn about the Blessed Virgin. But listen to the words. Bob and Sydney had never really ever heard them until that day. God has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. God has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of low degree, has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich God has sent empty away. The humble handmaiden of the Lord has set the agenda for the next half century of Christian activity in Peru. Eucharist, Holy Communion, a simple and sacred meal, tame, safe stuff up north, dynamite down south, an inside job if ever there was.
Act 2. A queen plays her trump card. Mary, known to many as the Blessed Virgin, wasn't the first woman to lead an entire people to freedom. Mary stands in a long line of faithful women who've changed the world from the inside. One of those women, one whose story might well have been forgotten were it not recorded in the canon that we call Scripture, is that of Esther. So we're going to listen and hear a version of Esther's story this morning. A queen plays her trump card. Let's watch. The video presentation of the book of Esther shared in worship has copyright restrictions that do not allow us to share on our podcast.
Act 3, Biblical Obedience. Bishop Melvin Talbert was born in Clinton, Louisiana, to sharecropper parents. He earned his BA degree from Southern University in Baton Rouge and was in the first graduating class of a new consortium of seminaries called Interdenominational Theological Center in Atlanta. He did further study at the School of Theology at Claremont and then Vancouver School of Theology. He was ordained a deacon in the Louisiana Conference of the Central Jurisdiction, and then he moved west and was ordained a United Methodist elder in Southern California. There he served as a pastor and staff for a number of years until he was elected bishop in 1980. Bishop Talbert now lives in Nashville, Tennessee, with his wife, Marilyn Ruth Williams McGee. Having accepted his call from God as a young man in the South, Bishop Talbert lived out his ministry and moved into his retirement, feeling he had done what he could do as a father, a pastor, and a bishop for God and God's church. He had served at every level: student, pastor, conference staff, denominational staff, and finally, bishop. Bishop Talbert knows the United Methodist Church from the inside out. And at retirement just a few years ago, he was finished. He never intended to lead a movement. He did, though, make a declaratory observation out loud one day. He said, "I accept a call for us to claim our identity as it relates to the Bible, to speak truth to power and decide that laws that govern LGBTQ persons and allies in the life of the church are immoral and unjust and are no longer deserving of our loyalty and support. Those of us who believe that the need to declare our beliefs, believe that and start doing the right thing." Bishop Talbert, he sat at lunch counters during the civil rights movement in our country and committed himself to a life of nonviolence. When he was jailed, the people in his community back then during the civil rights movement came to his rescue. He reminds us today that is the very same response we need now. Your best strategy might not be to be a lone ranger as a pastor. Your best strategy might be to go back to your congregation and talk to them about what is on your heart as their pastor. Work from the inside to create a strategy with your people about how they, as a church, can move marriage equality forward with integrity and be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ. Bishop Melvin Talbert is an African-American bishop who was also bishop for 12 years in this area, who, because of his own personal experience with the racial divide in our country, knows all too well the meaning of Dr. Martin Luther King's words, "Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere." Bishop Talbert declared, "I accept a call for us to claim our identity as it relates to the Bible, to speak truth to power and decide that laws that govern LGBTQ persons and allies in the life of the church are immoral and unjust and are no longer deserving of our loyalty and support. Those of us who believe that way need to declare our beliefs and start doing the right thing." This began a movement for inclusion and for justice. And it began a movement that led us to place a flag in our church's front lawn that says, "All means all."
Too many people in the name of Christ have demanded that gay and lesbian and bisexual and transgender people apologize or defend who they are. And Bishop Talbert, an insider in the church if ever there was, turns this upside down and inside out and calls you and me and the whole church to a way of biblical obedience. See, to be obedient to Scripture, we're going to have to go back to the God who came in the form of an inside job, the ways of Jesus, who taught us how to love one another and invited all to the table. In Jesus' day, that meant tax collectors and prostitutes. It meant politicos and even religious leaders, all of them. And in our day, it means gay people and straight people, queer people and questioning people. All means all. Charges have been brought against Bishop Talbert, and those charges have been resolved for now, and he continues to work from the inside to reach in love to all whom God calls beloved. Esther saved God's beloved people from genocide. Hers was an inside job within a royal family on behalf of her own marginalized Jewish people. Bishop Talbert calls us to biblical obedience that welcomes all to the table in the name of love and justice, that ultimate inside job, Jesus, our Christ. That very same Jesus offered this simple and sacred meal as yet one more inside job. Bob and Sidney Brown remind us that though this meal can feel safe and even tame up here in the north at times, this meal is God's dynamite, God's inside job that works from within to transform our lives and the entire world. So may we prepare our hearts and our minds, our bodies and our souls to come together for this simple and sacred meal once more.
The body is broken, God's love poured open to make us new. Lord, make us new. Love.